FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Coming up later in the show, we'll be finding out how the women's team got on in their league match against Cheadle Town Stingers. But before that, it's the men's team that we turn to and Saturday's mid-season friendly against Clitheroe. The reason why this game took place is because the Northern Premier League board met last week and announced that they'd be restarting the season on Boxing Day. And ahead of that competitive game, the league also permitted clubs to arrange either a league match or a friendly on Saturday. And FC United opted to take on Clitheroe in a friendly ahead of getting back to competitive action on Boxing Day. Since that announcement was made and since Saturday's friendly, the league has made the decision to allow clubs the option to postpone fixtures on the 26th of December as well as on New Year's Day. So FC United have announced that there will be now no game on Boxing Day and on New Year's Day. But ahead of that change of mind from the league, I caught up with Neil Reynolds before Saturday's match with Clitheroe.
Well, hello, Neil. Long time no see. Yeah. How are you?
Really good. Really good, Ben. Strange to be back, but really good to be back. Lads have had a fantastic week in training. You know, just a good to see everyone's faces and get back doing what we all love. And then, you know, walking out at Broadhurst Park a couple of, 20 minutes ago, there's no better feeling in football. And, you know, hopefully this is the beginning of something, but we'll just have to wait and see on, the government this week and the FA.
Seems to be kind of a mixed bag of reactions to this decision to come back on Boxing Day. The football managers I've spoken to are delighted. Committees, not so much. But, I mean, it's a no-win situation for the league. We've got to get the fixtures played, but clubs need to operate making money. So it's...
I mean, we need a decision. We've got 35 league games to play, in best part of, 16, 17 weeks. So that in itself is going to be difficult. I do feel for every club, including ourselves, that, no FMB, not enough people within the ground. People have got wage bills to pay. You look at FC United, we've got full-time staff here. We're not generating the income. And, all in all, I feel sorry for everybody. And it's a horrible situation to be in. Like I say, as a manager, there's no better feeling than putting your team out on match day. But I do support, whatever decision is made. Everyone wants to get back to playing football as quickly and safely, as possible. But for us, a good game against Clitheroe today. It's a friendly. We don't believe in friendlies. I'm sure there'll be two teams going hammer and tong. We know what Clitheroe are about. We saw them in pre-season. They're a physical side, a good footballing side. But I made a raft of changes today. We brought a couple of new lads. Alex Babos has re-signed for us.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so got young Boyley from Fleetwood who's come in today. It's good to have Tom Stead back. Joe White's going to play today. So we've mixed it up. And, I think the key thing is between now and next Saturday Boxing Day is can everyone get 90 minutes over the two games? And, there'll be a raft of changes at half-time today. And that's got to be the key. The only injury we've got is Curtis Jones, who's pulled his hamstring, who's unlikely to be fit for next week.
And obviously, like you say, I mean, Clitheroe, that friendly was boisterous, wasn't it? It was lively. So, there was an option to play a league game if we wanted. I think we've made the right call, haven't we? I mean, how difficult is it going to be to get everyone match fit for and match ready for Ashton United?
It's going to be tough. Ashton have been in training 4 or 5 weeks now. They're playing the trophy against South Shields, they're playing against York. They've got another game today. So it's going to be really tough. And, the odds are massively in their favour. For us, it's just a case of like pre-season. We were a little bit rusty when we started. We're going to be again today. But as the games progress, we get better and better. And hopefully we can... do that this week and then get into the Ashton game next weekend and get something from it. And then we look to Radcliffe and Scarborough and, as the season ticks on, we'll get fitter and we'll get better. better, and I'm sure that, you know, come the end of the season, we'll be on course to achieve our objective.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FC Live. Yes, FC Live, everyone. And this afternoon, we're bringing you a mid-season friendly. Never knew such a thing existed. It's FC United against Clitheroe. And joining us here for a little pre-match chat and hopefully a bit of a sound check as well for our TV viewers at home, as Keg quickly scampers to his headphones.
I'm here, boss.
Hi, Keg. How are you?
I'm well. I'm still here. Thank you. How are you and yours?
I'm all right.
Good.
So we're back. Now, let's have a little discussion about how we've got to this point. The league earlier in the week said we were waiting and we were going to join the Isthmian League and the Southern League in waiting to see what happens, basically, with the tiering system. Not much happened with the tiering system. In fact, it got a lot worse for Isthmian League clubs. And then an announcement's made that we're playing and we can opt to play today, the 19th, a competitive league game, or we can wait till Boxing Day. It's up to you. We've opted to play a friendly, which is the right thing, I think, at this juncture.
Yep.
And here we are. Weird, Keg. Thoughts?
Well, we've tried to understand the logic behind the decision based on, obviously, the financial situation it puts, I would imagine, the majority of clubs in our league in, such that there is no food and beverage spend allowed in the grounds. Crowds have been limited to even more than they were before, and generally those crowd limits are probably going to be taken up by season ticket holders at most matches, which means that most clubs will not have any on the day match day income at all to pay players' wages, electricity bills, staff costs and all the rest of it. So we're all probably going to be making a loss every game we play, probably.
And even more confusingly, the Isthmian League and the Southern League have stuck to that announcement earlier in the week, which said, I think they've decided January.
Well, they've held off to making the decision till January.
So here we are, and not just Keg with us, James is with us too. What do you think, James?
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, it's kind of really, it's sort of desperate measures, really, to keep the football going. I mean, it's a response, obviously, to... It's a response, the decision, to resistance to the fact that clubs at our level haven't been able to play football and get football played again. But when you put a team in the situation where they can't sell anything at the ground in terms of food or drink and a very limited number of fans indeed, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. And of course... with the ongoing uncertainty generally in the country, that's another ingredient, really. But in a sense, what's done is done, and we'll have got a game of football to look at this afternoon. It'll be good to see the players in action. It'll give them a run out. But I think the overall situation is a little bewildering, and I just don't think the league know what to do, really.
This is the thing. It's a mixed bag, this, because if you ask a football manager in this division what they think, they're over the moon.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, let's get back at it.
Yeah.
And we see that, don't we? We've seen clubs who've made statements who are playing friendlies today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on one hand, you've got the football managers who've gone, right, if we're playing Boxing Day, I need a friendly committee. Let me play a game.
Yeah.
The committee, on the other hand, then says, all right, play the game, but we're going to lodge our feelings, make them known with the league as quickly as we can. So on one hand, you've got football. Football's back. That's great. On the other hand, we've got clubs who, this is dangerous times for them. If this proceeds and carries on for the short to medium term, even maybe the long term, with no income coming in, how on earth is that viable?
Well, and also the other elephant in the room is the fact that there's a considerable chance there'll be a third national lockdown after Christmas anyway, which will put a stop to it all again, which I would presume is why the Southern and Isthmian Leagues have held off making their decisions.
So just to clarify, we have got a game on Boxing Day, we understand, against Ashton United. Ashton United, this is the other complication, is the fact that there are clubs who've been playing competitive football while we've been away.
In the trophy.
Yep. Ashton United is one of them. They have a phenomenal result midweek against York. And they're playing, I think they're playing Kettering today, I might be wrong. But they're playing a competitive game of football. It's a bit unfair on us, isn't it? Having to come back straight at it when, you know, they've had a run-up.
Yeah, well, as you say, though, as James said, it is what it is. A decision's been made for now. That might change. in the near future, that decision. We'll just have to wait and see, and you say suck it and see. My personal opinion is the fact that we might get a handful of games in before we stop again, at best. That's a personal opinion, though.
Well, as James rightly says, it is a football match today, which is good to see, regardless of the off-the-pitch stuff and the money side of things. FC United take over Clitheroe, and James, that takes me back to those heady days of pre-season up at their place.
Yeah.
It wasn't friendly.
No, was it?
I watched the stream. It wasn't. It was a bit feisty, wasn't it, guys?
It was. It was a good game, though. It was a 2-2 draw, as I recall. And but Clitheroe, in a way, good test. And obviously, however feisty it was on the field, the clubs have maintained a good relationship because they've returned the favour, as it were. But I think it's going from that game, this is a decent test for FC. Good opposition, they'll be committed, and they certainly were pre-season. So I'm sure they will be now.
Some items of team news as well while we've been gone. Alex Baybos is back, everyone.
Ah, we have a pronunciation. I thought it was Babos. Is it Baybos?
Don't give me this.
I'm not even getting involved, guys.
It's called Alex. Paul's here. Baybos.
I'm sure I used to call him. Oh dear.
Anyway. Well, I was about to go the Brazilian.
To be fair,
call him Alex.
You put Cockerline in goal, don't you? Sometimes.
You shouldn't have said that. Why did you pick him?
Anyone would think that was deliberate, just to plant the seed.
Why did you pick him?
Oh dear. I'm so sorry.
If he could have only just done 10 minutes on the bench or something.
Clearly, if you make that mistake, it won't be mentioned at all. No pressure.
But it's not about the starting 11 today, because there's going to be rolling subs all the way through this, which is perfectly understandable. FC United have got 8 substitutes lined up here. Clitheroe have got even more. And the other thing we have to say is, as well, we don't believe that the shirt numbers for Clitheroe match the team sheet. So
certainly for the subs, or is
for the subs.
For the subs,
So good luck, everyone, with that regard. But for our team, I'm pretty sure we know everybody. So that's good news. James, what are you most looking forward to this afternoon?
Well, I'm really looking forward to see Alex Baybos make his comeback. See, apart from the pronunciation issue, because I thought he was brilliant. I really did think it was he had an extra bit of class and time. And so I'm really, that's a thrill that he's back. And obviously to see Dylan Boyle, who's come from Fleetwood on loan as well. So very interested to see them and see how Finlay Sinclair Smith, who's had a good season, good pace. He's starting to add end product to his undoubted skill and pace. So always good to see him. And so those will be the pick. Trey Pemberton as well, who's on loan from Stoke. A lot of skill in the lineup for FC, and it'll be good to see if they can find the end product to go with the entertaining football that I'm sure they'll play.
Well, on that note, let's hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, a mid-season friendly, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army, live on FC Radio and also live on FC TV. It's a freebie this afternoon, isn't it, Keg? So get your donations in. The links are available on the official website.
And also, though, we haven't done this for a while. if you have any problems with the video or the sound, please feedback to us and we'll do our best to sort any problems out, issues on the, obviously we may have today, but we want your feedback today, definitely.
We did the women's team last Sunday and it seemed to go pretty well without a hitch. So anyway, teams are now coming out.
Kiss
so it's now over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's Keg, Stato Paul, everyone, but first James Quinn.
And then Cummings rolls it back to his keeper, and Chris Thompson will launch this into FC territory. Stead there, out jumped there by Hudson, and now it's Connolly, and that's played in. Now Adams with a real chance, he blasted over the bar.
Should have done better with that.
Well, FC were all at sea there, completely exposed, and lack of composure, I think, from Adams prevented Clitheroe from taking the lead. Well, it's a direct or an indirect free kick here.
This will be an in-swinger to the far post.
Cross
there
comes
it is.
In decent looking. Well, it was cut out there by Boyle. Second ball picked up by Wilkins and it's nodded back in. Adams with the chance, and that was good work there from Hudson. There it was nodded down, and good opportunity for Adams, who makes up for his error a few moments ago. But FC's defence there, not quite at it.
Well, we were warned, weren't we, 2 minutes before, when that should have been 1-0 then. But as you say, Adams makes no mistake second time around. And on 16 minutes or so, it's FC United 0, Clitheroe 1.
Wilkins can't quite control it, but Motton can clear. Now it's come back to Donoghue. Donoghue's cockerline back to Donoghue. Takes it ever so well there, Donoghue. Lovely ball in. Sinclair Smith with a chance. Thompson with a save.
Good save.
And
he
good recovery there to prevent the corner. It's a throw in. And then it's chipped forward there by Wilkins. And it's nodded down there. Pilkington edge of the box. Pilkington now. See if he can find a cross there. Cross. He chips it in. Oh, what a brilliant save by Lavercombe. That was a superb effort from Pilkington. Right in the top corner. And Lavercombe with a left hand just getting his fingertips to it. Great football all round. And now on the turn is Adams. Adams slides it through neatly there. 15 has it on the edge of the box. Left-footed shot. And it's a great finish.
Plenty of time on the ball there. Even with two extra touches, he had time to just drag it into the right-hand corner there.
Yeah, but it was a good finish, though. Really well placed. Yeah. And Lavercombe with no chance. But FC undone just after the change as well. Now Ennis. Ennis are now fighting for the ball. It's Potts. No chance here. FC 4-on-3. Through ball is Sinclair Smith onside. This is surely enough for Sinclair Smith. 1-on-1. Sinclair Smith. Let's go. Excellent work from Sinclair Smith. He stayed on his feet there. The keeper came down. And well, let's forget about that 80-minute comment I made a few moments ago. We've got a game.
It's game on.
And if FC come back and win 3-2, then this friendly will have meant a lot. Yes. We could read a lot into it.
Really? It's those 10 crucial minutes that saved the season.
And this is Simpson, but doesn't find his radar. He's so many options there, but found... and Fowler with a really silly kick. What there on earth was he thinking? Kicking the player while he was down. That really is. And there's an almighty squabble now. But what I don't know what went on, and obviously he was provoked, but really kicking a player who's on the deck, and whether that will rebound into Fowler's availability or competitive fixtures, well, that remains to be seen, but surely...
Was Fowler involved in anything at the away game?
Not that I recall.
Towards the end. I know Linney did one, but wasn't there a couple of incidents? And was it? I can't remember who was involved with that, but it was almost inevitable, wasn't it?
Indeed, and referee speaking to Fowler. Card about to be produced, and the colour of the card is, drum roll, well, he's red. Something else went on, I think, that was less visible, but for the kick out so blatantly, well, what a pity. And that may mean that Dan Cockerline gets a start. Fowler takes his shirt off. He'll be upset with himself, I think, whatever went on. And
I think the injury to Linney and the red card to Fowler have been
the talking point.
There's a red card. There's a red card for 17 as well. So whatever did happen, unless he overstepped his mark with
retaliation,
he may have done something during the altercation.
During the melee,
because a referee assistant came across there, and there it goes. And Clitheroe come out 2-1 winners. Well, it's been an interesting one. FC rallying a little at the end, but FC missing their chances. Credit to Clitheroe. Very committed, organised performance.
And took theirs.
But they did indeed take the chances. And FC just be disappointed that they couldn't provide the cutting edge that was required to some decent play in the midfield. But as Paul said earlier, not too much to be read into it. And but it will be interesting if we get a chance to talk to Neil Reynolds to get some clues as to, well, what his thinking is going forward and how he's going to accommodate all these midfield players.
I think it was unfortunate that the conditions for much of the second half negated good football being played to a degree almost, I think, James. I think a draw would have been a fair result. The difference between the teams, as you've said, for me it really was, Clitheroe took the chances, we didn't.
I have to say, though, obviously we played this game for a reason. That's to get match fit again after 5 or 6 weeks off. I think that was the right opposition.
It was a physical contest, certainly second half. Again, that was helped or hindered, of you, depending on which opinion you are, by the conditions. But unfortunate that we've picked up a potential suspension and an injury.
Keg, you've got to go, haven't you? So
I'll be going very shortly, yeah.
What's your closing thoughts for you?
Well, hopefully, well, we assume we'll be back again, or FCUM Live will be back again on Boxing Day.
Yes.
So the main thing is that. Obviously further updates. Other than that, I think our next home game was the 23rd of January. If I was a betting man, I'd say that wouldn't happen on that date for all sorts of obvious reasons. So we might see you again soon. I might see you again in a month or two's time. We just don't know.
We'll see you at the end of the season, Player Awards.
Thanks for everyone's efforts today, because it has been awful.
Thank you, Keg. Adam as well. Just to say a big thank you to Adam. That was pretty horrendous stuff, I have to say. So well done to you, my friend, during that second half, keeping the camera dry and all that. So we're going off FCM TV now. Don't forget, donate. We are sticking on the radio. Big thank you to Adam. Big thank you to Keg. And head over now to FCM Radio for some more post-match reaction. Paul, you've not spoken much. What's your take on that friendly?
I think that... there may be some positives from it, although they're difficult to see at this stage. I think losing Linney to injury, it didn't look very good at all the way he went off. That's a very, very much a setback for Boxing Day if we're going to play on that day. Losing Fowler to a suspension in the coming weeks again is a bit of a negative. That's something we could have done without. And also the main concern is scoring goals, and losing Fowler is not going to help us in that. So, yeah, it's very hard to judge from a friendly, especially in the dreadful conditions in the second half.
Yes, indeed. By the way, on a light-hearted note, nothing to do with the football, my quote that I put out there, and not surprising, it's Helen Murphy from Leicester who comes up with the answer, which is, of course, William Shakespeare's Scottish play.
There's nothing like an education.
Is there?
Very good.
It was very nice that somebody thought that James Quinn thought of that when it was the greatest writer in the English language.
Anyway, but that's much to do about nothing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. At the end of the day.
We'll wait for Neil Reynolds to join us. You know what I should do? I should read out how Ashton got on this afternoon, because they've been playing in a proper game of football, a competitive game of football, in the third round of the FA Trophy. It's all right for some. And for Ashton United, they were beaten by Kettering Town. They were 1-0 up at half-time, but it has finished Ashton United 1, Kettering Town 2. Obviously, Kettering Town, the much higher-ranked side, and Ashton United did have a tough game against York City midweek. They're going to be match sharp, aren't they, Paul? And that's crucial, isn't it?
That's an advantage, yes.
Indeed. Of course, in FC, of course, similar stage last season, FC beat Kettering.
We did, in the same competition.
Yes, 2-0 up, and then Kettering scored on 90 minutes, and there was 5 minutes of the Alamo as FC kept them out.
Given the remarkable circumstances that we find ourselves in, there has actually been a league match today in the league. There was only one. Two teams bit... the hook and went, right, we'll have that. And they were Mickleover, the league leaders, and Ratcliffe. And Mickleover won 3-1. So Mickleover come back and open up a 3-point gap between themselves and near neighbours Basford United. They're the story of the season so far, but we have to remember that is only the 10th league game of the season. So, bit of context. When do we normally reach 10 games? Is it normally November?
Yeah.
So much, we're way behind, aren't we? I feel sorry for some clubs. I mean, we talk about, you know, how far FC United are behind. Not much, you've only played 6 games in the league.
They've probably played more cup games.
They have played more cup games. FC United currently sitting in 13th, having only played 7 games this season. Are we going to fit this all in, Paul? We had a good chat at half time, but.
I think we're going to. You know, remember the women's team? They were playing 2 games a day, an hour aside.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I think that's the answer.
That's what's going to happen.
Back-to-back hourly games.
Yeah.
We'll end up with that in March and April.
Can we agree now? I know we're not quite at the halfway point of the league season, but calendar wise, we are. We have to get the season finished by hook or by crook, don't we?
Can you do like a Super League type where you have loads of games in one stadium?
All on the same day.
That might happen.
Yeah, at Broadhurst Park, for example.
Well,
suitable stadium.
If anywhere, it's going to be you and Fields, isn't it, with their 3G?
It's certainly... I mean, if we have another stoppage to the season, we're not going to get a full season.
Well, there's been some announcements, of course, this afternoon in the world, which affect things. Certainly very much for the South East, not quite sure It's tier four in the southeast.
Tier four?
Tier four with Christmas bubbles cancelled. But, but what it means for this area, I'm not sure yet. But clearly, the direction of travel is...
back to football, it matters anyway. So, bye, Keg.
Okay. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas, my friend. Merry Christmas.
All the best.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you too.
It was a shame the season was suspended, obviously, because the last time we played, Warrington, wasn't it? And that was pretty good.
That was a stirring game,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Well, Neil's coming over.
Well, Neil, thanks ever so much for joining us. What did you want to get out of the game this afternoon?
Just minutes. Just get back playing football. You know, it's been really difficult. It's difficult for everybody, isn't it? And I think we did. I thought we dominated the football. I thought the lads coming in, done a good job. You know, we could have scored more than what we did, but we didn't. And it's just good to be back. But it's just question marks. I know like Bosley's doing an announcement now, and it's what the announcement's going to be. It's just question marks. And you feel a bit flat in the dressing room after the game, because when are we going to see you again? Is it going to be Tuesday? Is it going to be Boxing Day? And we just want some clarity. But it's hard for the lads at the minute. But they've certainly looked after themselves. You know, I thought there were some exceptional performances today. Definitely got something out of the game.
What really struck me was that how many very skillful midfield players have now at this club with Boyle and Baybos joining. On earth are you going to accommodate?
Well, the thing is, if the league does restart, James, we've got 35 games in 16, 17 weeks. So lads are going to have to be patient. You know, we're not a side that... Like everyone knows who's got a number of contracted players, so people will know that they won't get paid if they don't play or if they're not in the 16. So people have just got to be in this really weird time. They've just got to be patient. But like you said, you know, Boyle's a player. You know, great player. We've got Luke Griffiths out now for four games. So, you know, Boyle is a deep line midfielder. Baybos has come back in now. But it's just options. You know, it's options. And we're back up to a 21 man squad. So it's up to, you know, the management team, myself, to pick the right team week in, week out.
Yeah, did Clitheroe know it was a friendly?
Listen, I have probably put my neck on the line and said we'll play them after pre-season. I've got some great friends there, and you know, they weren't my friends during the 90 minutes. You know, the way they handled themselves, I don't think they came across great. But you know, I can't defend the indefendable. You know, Fowles has got a red card, which sparks it. But before that, you know, I might have lost Linney for the season. You know, it's
seriously?
Oh yeah, it's going to go for an X-ray. It's horrendous, and that's a thuggish tackle. But I can't defend Michael Fowler, because that, you know, you can't do things the way he did, and he knows that. And I've just told him. But it wasn't just that tackle. You know, there were a physical side, but there was a few that was left, and I thought the referee lost control.
But it did seem to get out of hand, because literally right at the end, Sinclair, we were just below us here, Sinclair Smith, there was a player one of the subs slid into Sinclair Smith.
You know, they're obviously, you know, they're a physical side, and they've got a style of playing, and I don't mind that. You know, I was a physical player, you know, when I was a fair player. I thought today there was a lot of unfair tackles, but you know, if I could have my time again and pull the boots on, I would have left a few in on a few of their players, because you know, that's football and it needs to happen. But I don't encourage that from my team. They don't play like that. They keep the discipline. You know, most of the time we didn't today with Michael, but you know, we rolled challenges and we carried on playing football, and that was a pleasing thing. And I thought, if you look at the goals, you look at our goal today, it was exceptional. The movement for our, you know, and it nearly come to fruition in the first half with Dan Cockerline. Them the little patterns of playing, the movement that you see, kind of don't happen overnight, and it's great when they come off.
Yeah. Word quick for Lavercombe, extraordinary save. You know, not that much to do, but extraordinary save in the top corner from a great shot from Pilkington, and then some really last-ditch stuff.
I said this at half-time. I was disappointed with how deep our back line was. So Dan, for me, had to make some unnecessary saves because we didn't get out. I blame Dan for that as well, because he's got to speed to get his back four out. But the amount of times that we've cleared it and we've stayed in, and that then forces the keeper into saves. But the one that you're talking about, you know, it's a great save. The wind picked it up, and, you know, he's an agile, for a 6'3", 6'4" keeper, he's very agile, and, you know, we're lucky to have him.
Now, what did you feel about the two goals that conceded?
And this is what I'm saying about staying in. You know, we stayed in. Billy Priestley gets a reverse header. It comes off Morris instead. And what happens is, if you stay in, you invite a ball 8 yards out. The minute as quick as you can hit the 18-yard box, that's what Curtis Jones gives us. You know, you would kind of like eliminate that pressure. If you think of the goal that Chris Doyle scored against Lancaster, you know, we scored from 6 yards because they never came out. So it gives you an opportunity at the back post, and we're better than that. And the second goal, You know, I might be critical. I think Dan can do better for it. I don't think he moved his feet quick enough. But listen, it's the first game after a 5-week break, so I'm certainly not going to be, you know, picking people out and criticising performance. It was just great to be back playing football. You know, the result's the result. It doesn't bother to us whether we won or not. Yeah. It was about getting ready for next Saturday.
But leaving aside the uncertainty, let's assume that the game takes place. Aston have gone down today to Kettering in the FA Trophy, but what are the key things playing against Aston?
Aston are a great side. You know, I spoke to Michael Clegg, who's a really good friend of mine. You know, there's not many, you know, that you form a really good friendship with. And I said to him the other week, I said, I had the problem that he's had at Aston. I said, you've got to move out big characters. You've got to move out people who are on big wages. And I said, go with youth and trust them. And, you know, he listened and he's moved a lot of experienced lads on and brought some young lads in. And they've done really well. And, you know, congratulations for beating, you know, the likes of York and South Shields. They're ahead of us all. They've been back in 5 weeks and they've played three games. So competitive games and two friendly. So they are, in terms of kind of, if you think of a 100-metre race, they're probably 30 yards ahead of what we will be before the gun goal. So we've got to go there. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to treat the game and treat them with all respect. But it'll be a really tough game. I just want to get something out of the game, because after that you've got Radcliffe, you've got Scarborough, and then the turn of the year. You know, you look at like to Micklover. I think they've gone on one today. You know, they've gone top of the league. Well, they are top of the league. So it's going to be. Listen, there's going to be twists and turns. Our objective is promotion this season. If the season restarts, and I still think with the squad and potentially a really exciting centre forward coming over the line next week, and you know, that will be exciting. I think we've got a right chance, so we've just got to, you know, enjoy today because football's back. You know, great to see the fans, and thanks for all the noise that they made. And just, you know, it's just weird, isn't it? But I just want to wish everybody, you know, all the best for Christmas. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll see everyone on Boxing Day.
Neil Reynolds there speaking after FC United's 2-1 defeat to Clitheroe on Saturday afternoon. And well, Paul, since we played that mid-season friendly against Clitheroe, there's been a bit more news, and it's been announced that the Boxing Day game for the men's team is now optional. It's no longer compulsory, and FC United have put out a statement basically saying that that's 2020 done. We'll take a break now. Probably the wise call from both league and club there.
I think common sense has prevailed at last. I think it was rather foolish to try and suggest that the NPL clubs play on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, given the current circumstances where staging games is costing them large sums of money, and it's going to put some clubs at risk in terms of their futures. And I think FC were one of the clubs that protested right from the start about this and voiced their disapproval, and the league have now listened, I think, and decided that the clubs can make their own minds up.
I mean, when it comes to the decision making, we discussed it at great length yesterday when we were speaking about the rights and wrongs of starting from a footballing point of view. Footballers, they want to get back. The managers, they want to be playing again. And you can see why the league are keen to get back underway. There's so many games that need to be played. But realistically, like we just spun yesterday, if you capped at 300. There's going to be, for most clubs, 300 in the Northern Premier League is enough, but there's going to be a sizeable proportion of that 300 who are all season ticket holders, and therefore the money's already been banked and spent probably. There's no secondary sales from food and that kind of thing, so there's no income. There's just outgoings. So it's a really difficult position that the league and clubs find themselves in.
I think fans and players generally want to get games on and play and get some entertainment, but the financial situation is so stark for a number of clubs, it's almost committing suicide to continue to play in front of limited numbers where you're basically hemorrhaging money and there's no support from the government.
There's no support from the FA, really. I mean, I know the FA have been pushing for clarifications, but at the moment the only offer on the table financial-wise is loans. And that's not sustainable, is it? Incurring debt, again, with no real way of paying it back at the moment. So, you know, what can you do?
It's difficult, but chairmen and owners of football clubs have to look at the longer term. And it's not about staging games this season to just try and get a season ended. For some clubs, it's life and death. And I think some chairmen are looking at this and saying, well, if we carry on playing, it could be the detriment of the club long term. And We just can't do it.
So with regards to the club statement that was put out on the website yesterday, you know, the operations manager Paul Smith and football manager Neil Reynolds obviously have discussed this with the board, and as we've just discussed there with Paul, there's no real way that this was tenable, really. So it is an option that clubs have got in the Northern Premier League to play on Boxing Day and on New Year's Day. But FC United have announced that they're not going to take that offer up, and therefore that's it for men's team action for 2020. Obviously, FC United were put in this position where it was going to be compulsory for Boxing Day. That's why we played against Clitheroe in that mid-season friendly. It's transpired that, well, I'm going to word this, because we had to play that friendly, didn't we? Because we thought we were going to play against Ashton United, who play competitive games. It was going to be a tough afternoon on Boxing Day. We needed to hit the ground running. I suppose there was no better opposition than Clitheroe, really, in that regard. It's just a shame we lost Linney and we've lost Fowler.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Ultimately now we've played a friendly for very little gain and more loss, but we had to at the time, because that was the way it was drifting, playing a Boxing Day game. We had to get some match time in, and I suppose the manager can say he's given him an opportunity to look at one or two players he wouldn't have had a look at from that point of view, for whenever we do resume. But I think this season, again, like the previous season, it's looking very difficult to see how we're going to complete it.
How urgent is it at the moment then, Paul? Because the tricky thing is it's optional, and I know there's going to be clubs who are going to be playing Boxing Day and New Year's Day, and we'll continue to play. And how tenable is it that, you know, let's just pick a number out. Say there's 10 teams who want to continue playing, and they continue playing, and, you know, they get themselves 10 games ahead of FC United, and then the league stops.
I can't see how you can make league games optional as a viable league. I think the league should either say everybody plays or nobody plays. I just can't see the logic in a few clubs struggling on, racking up points for a meaningless league table.
And that's the problem we've also got, and this is where I come back to having sympathy for the league, really. At the moment, with the government's announcement over the weekend about Tier 4 in the South East, there's a possibility we might be heading to a third national lockdown at some point. Can Step 3 of non-league football, Step 4 of non-league football, the North West Counties, can they afford a second season where it's voided?
Well, I suppose the question is that if we allow clubs to carry on playing and lose more money, is that worse than them not playing at all?
Because the problem we've got is that Step 2 of non-league football is continuing, subsidised by the government. They're going to be picking players off at this rate.
Yeah, you can't blame any player who's at a club who isn't playing if they get an opportunity to move to a club that is playing matches, but I suppose that's the nature of the game. But it's a horrible situation for all clubs at the moment who are not playing, and there's no easy answers, I'm afraid. There's no simple solution to this until we get a situation where there's no restrictions on travel, there's no restrictions on various divisions putting sides out. It's very, very tough.
And with that regard, we do have to say that there's obviously bigger issues at play here, and the well-being of people is the most important thing in all this. But we're a football radio station doing a football podcast, so this is our angle of covering it. We just hope that it's about fairness, isn't it? When you've got clubs in Greater Manchester playing at Step 2 who've got less crowds than FC United normally have, being subsidised to play, we just hope that eventually the FA and the government step up and make it a more level playing field.
There's a horrible imbalance in terms of subsidy at the moment and support in football. It's a shame that the Premier League have yet again stuck their heads in the sand and said we're not going to do anything about it, we're not interested. But there's no doubt also that the well-being of players and fans is being affected by this, because when all's said and done, going to a football match or playing a football match is a great psychological element of living, isn't it, for a lot of us on a week-to-week basis. And for those of us who can't play football or watch football, it's massively impacting on a number of people.
And with that regard, you obviously join us on a Sunday afternoon. We're here for Women's Team Live, and we'll have all the action in a second. But this is our last commentary of 2020, Paul. It's just weird, isn't it? The way it's all.
It's a strange world we're living in, and it may never happen again, hopefully. But at the moment, I think we just have to ride it out. And if that means if we don't get football for a few months, hopefully we come out the other side and we start with some kind of normality again.
But women's team action this afternoon. FC United taking on Cheadletown Stingers. Cheadletown Stingers coming out onto the pitch. FC United have been out for a while. Paul, welcome to the show. What's your thoughts for this afternoon's game?
Good afternoon. Well, the sides are only separated by a point. We're in fifth, they're in sixth. We're both trailing Tranmere, who are the league leaders, of course, and it's shaping up to be what we think is going to be a tough game for us this afternoon.
FC United taking on Cheadletown Stingers. Regular listeners of Women's Team Live will remember Cheadletown Stingers as Manchester Stingers, and now they've been fully incorporated into the Cheadletown Club. We've played cup finals against them, haven't we, Paul? We've rubbed shoulders against them many times before.
Yeah, we've had a number of games with Manchester Stingers, and they've usually been pretty close events, and we don't think that this is going to be any different. What we've got to do is try and bounce back from two defeats in a row, which is unusual for the women.
We should add that, unfortunately, we've not been able to get the Cheadletown Stingers team, so today it's the good old-fashioned... Oh, we've got the team. Paul, it's here. Well, we do have the team. This is breaking news. FC United, this is their last competitive game of 2020 as the women's team go into a little mini break. We expect to be back on January the 10th, but given recent developments since yesterday's FC Live, who knows, Paul?
Well, it's completely in the dark at the moment in terms of when we're going to resume the season for the men, and fortunately the women are going to be able to carry on, we understand, so at least we've got some football to commentate on.
I'll read you out the FC United team this afternoon. It's Ainsworth, Marsh, both Marshes playing, Alicia and Emily, Cork, Patient, Fields, Parker, O'Gara, Hayes, Bailey and Captain Chambers. Substitutes for FC United, Clancy, Mava, Wilson and the two Smiths, Maxine and Olivia. And we are underway here on the 3G pitch. It's been chucking it down all morning, and but it's dry now for kickoff. 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. FC United back on the 3G pitch.
Cork wins the header. Ball breaks. Hayes just going to get to it and gets the ball clear. I think that ball's going to roll out unless O'Gara can get to it. She can. Plays the ball down the line to Chambers. Chambers, reverse pass. That's a nice ball. Onside Bailey. And a foul right on the edge of the penalty area. In fact, the referee says it's in the penalty area. And
cue more arguments.
Yes. And, well, the referee's going to have a chat. I think it was Dylan who did the foul. In fact, no, it wasn't Dylan, was it?
Sachetti. The card's coming out for.
It was a great reverse pass from Chambers, and it found Bailey, who was onside, and Sachetti brought her down.
It was the last player, so I don't think she can complain here.
Well, the angle was...
I don't think there's any doubt it was a foul.
It was a foul. The angle, whether it's a red card or not, I don't know. I mean, the angle was tight, and there was another player in the penalty area, so...
Well, this could be a game-changing moment, certainly. Referee's taking a long time putting this name in the book. It's a yellow.
Yellow for Ashetti. And you could argue it could have been a second yellow if you count that free kick earlier.
Well, I mean, that would have been a red card in some games, I think, that challenge. But now we have a penalty.
Yeah, Kirsty Chambers to take. It's right on half-time. FC United with a glorious chance here. Kirsty Chambers to take. Fishing goal. Chambers to Fish's right, slotted that home quite comfortably in the end. Kirsty Chambers and FC United right on half time take the lead, Paul.
Well, that was certainly a dramatic end to the half, a half where Stingers have created far more chances and looked far more threatening, but Jordan Bailey's late run there yields a penalty and a yellow card, and Kirsty Chambers slots home the spot kick to give FC a lead at half time.
Fields, is it going to get to Parker? It is going to get to Parker. That was a great ball from Cara Fields. Parker in space on the byline on the left-hand side. Cross comes into Bailey, and Bailey on the near post. Fish with no chance, and with just under 20 minutes left to play Is that the all-important, crucial second goal, Paul, for FC?
What a dynamic pass from Cara Fields wide out to Parker there. Parker gathered the ball on the edge of the box and picked across perfectly for Bailey, who was coming in at the near post. A smart finish and 2-0 to the Reds.
Well, we were saying FC United probably need a second goal to solidify things, and Bailey gets that goal on the near post, and FC United 2-0 up now. And is that going to be enough to take FC United second in the league tonight? That's a nice back heel there from Dunlop. Now Cheadle, a goal back from Cheadle now would make the last 5 minutes very, very interesting, that's for sure. Shot comes in from distance. What a strike that was from the substitute Grundy. There was no stopping that one from about 30 yards out. That was a thunderbolt, Paul. 2-1.
That was
From a Cheadle Town perspective, game back on.
That was an unstoppable right footer that Chloe had no chance with into the top corner. And the Stingers are back in the game with only 5 minutes to go.
Full time for FC United, and a hard-fought 2-1 victory for FC United. But given the Tranmere result a couple of weeks ago, the FA Cup exit last week, Cheadle Town really, really dangerous in that first half. Given how dangerous they were looking at the end of that game there, Paul, 2-1, we'll take that.
I think we'll take any kind of a win today, considering the last couple of weeks. It was not easy by any means, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of tired legs out there after that game. The Stingers have really pushed us very hard, and I think you have to go back to the first half, really, where they maybe had the better of the game but didn't cash in. And Kirsty Chambers was the person with the composure to stick the penalty away right on the interval. And then in the second half, a beautiful second goal that gave us the breathing space, and Cara Fields finding Jade Parker wide out, and then the ball played in for Jordan Bailey to finish. And it's a good job we got that goal, because the Stingers really did threaten at the end, and they deserved something out of the game, and it was a rasping drive that got them back in it. And there were some very jittery moments in the last few minutes, but somehow we've managed to hang on and take the 3 points, and that, we believe that's pushed us back into second.
Yeah, we believe so. Most of the league games this afternoon, due to the weather, which has been horrendous, have all been postponed, apart from the game involving the current league leaders, Tranmere Rovers. They've beaten Merseyrail this afternoon by 2-0. That sees them stay top of the table. This is the last weekend for the women's team and the North West Premier Division for 2020. So Tranmere Rovers finish 2020 top of the table on 12 points, but FC United breathing down the necks in second on 9 points with 2 games in hand, Paul. So finally balanced as we go into 2021.
There's a long lot of games to go through, a lot of points to be won and lost. Obviously Tranmere has still got to come here. That's going to be a very, very critical game in the running. Good to see the women have finished the year with a win. This will give them confidence for the new year, and I'm sure when we resume, we think it's 10th of January, then we'll be in good heart for that. And let's hope that we can pick up the threads of the season again and provide a real threat for Tranmere.
Well, for This Club Is My Club listeners, coming up next is the post-match reaction of Women's Team manager Cameron Hussain. But that's it for Women's Team Live and for the radio commentary team for 2020. A big thank you to all our listeners for joining us, but also a big Merry Christmas to all the volunteers on FC Radio and FC TV. Big Happy New Year as well to everyone. Here's hoping it's a better 2021 for everyone, including you, dear listener. Thank you for joining us throughout these commentaries this year, and we'll see you all on the other side. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Well, Cameron, signing off 2020 with a win, what was your take on that game?
I just thought we looked a little bit better in possession, but I think we made our own downfall at times where we got stuck in possession in our own half sometimes, but we got the 3 points, not quite how we wanted to. We've addressed it in the change rooms. It's been a difficult period coming back since lockdown. Still moving on and progressing, but always something to work on.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking post-match after a bit of a walloping at Tranmere. Last week was a bit more encouraging. This week, it's just kicking the thing over the line and heading into the new year, second in the league.
Yeah, that's it. I think the points are crucial always in the league. It's been a tough one because we've not had that many training sessions. We're still moving around and we're still adjusting, still learning different partnerships. So it's a work in progress. It's definitely not the end product. So I think it's just one of them. We've got to bide our time a little bit.
What does it mean to, obviously, we've got this winter break now, we're 3 points behind Tranmere Rovers, we've got a couple of games in hand, so it's all right, isn't it, heading into 2021?
Yeah, I think there's not too much doom and gloom. I think because of the high standards we constantly set, I think we are slightly underachieving from where we should be. However, like you said, there's games in hand. We know what we're capable of, and it's just getting that consistent flow. And with the COVID situation, it's always difficult.
Now, that we actually said in commentary, we'll need a second goal, I think, just to make it all right. Jordan Bailey in the near post, but great build-up play from Parker and Fields as well.
Yeah, I think some of the technical ability of some of the players in the squad is fantastic. And when we cut teams open, it looks completely amazing and a knife through butter. But then it's, like you said, that clinical ability of trying to finish and tuck away. And I think we've lost that a little bit this season.
Chris Chambers going off. How's Kirsty Chambers doing?
Yeah, Kirsty's all right. She's just taking a little knock. I think we were going to take her off anyway because she's been a bit fragile at training with a couple of injuries and knocks. So I think everyone's ready for this two-week break to refresh physically and mentally and go again in the new year.
So just a closing thought then, Cameron Miller. Like we said, second in the league. There's a long way to go, though, isn't there, with games played? Was that only a fourth league game of the season, wasn't it? So. The good news is, though, there's no other cup competitions or anything like that, so it's a straight run, isn't it? So what's your message to the FC faithful as we head towards 2021?
I think stay safe and enjoy your holidays, but also hopefully when we come back we get a consistent run of games where we can gel and kind of show our talents a little bit more. There's been little snippets here and there, but it's such an exciting squad and I feel like we've only just scratched the surface, really. And hopefully there'll be more wins and good performances to come.
Cameron Hussein there, women's team manager, joining us here on This Club Is My Club, following his side's 2-1 victory over Cheadletown Stingers in the league. And that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of FC United, you can visit the website www.fc-utd.co.uk. But that's it for This Club Is My Club. A big Merry Christmas to everyone listening, and we'll see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.